Well, there's been music giving Troy flashbacks of those old K-State band parties. It's hour two of the game. Game after work.
Just a little while ago, I was actually laughing. It's Rick Moranis' birthday today.
Mm. Happy birthday, Rick Moranis. I don't know if Owen knows who Rick Moranis is.
I'll be honest. Let me look him up.
I knew that.
Wow.
Was playing around.
God, I'm hurt.
Trying to fit in.
Ouch.
Nope. I do know who Rick Moranis is. Spaceballs.
That's true. I knew as soon as I said Spaceballs, he would know.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk.
Well, yes. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Shrunk
Ourselves, whatever the sequel was.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, probably what I watched more growing up was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I know who he is.
He was a heel in Ghostbusters, though, right?
He wasn't a heel.
Well, his body was taken over.
Correct.
By, yeah.
Yes.
It was a,
he became the Keymaster.
There you go. He was the weird, wacky
tax
maybe
lawyer,
obsessive neighbor.
Okay, yeah. Who brought the dog? One of the all-time lines.
Yeah,
you know where the yeah. Anyway, so someone had shared on Twitter a little while ago the clip of him on SCTV doing a mock-up of Michael McDonald. Which is what that track, of course, sounds is, you know, the backing track too.
Yeah.
And the one that the SCTV bait was Fly Like the Wind. And then they've got the reaction from Michael McDonald talking about it years later, having seen it. And it's pretty funny.
I'd never seen that skit before, and it's pretty good.
SCTV, yeah. And boy, there is so much of that I need to go back and watch. Because that was late Friday nights, 81, 82, 83, that NBC ran that. And it was just as a replacement for, they had been running what was known as the Midnight Special. And it didn't take off. So they were looking for a cheap fix because Dick Ebersol also had gone back over to Saturday Night Live to be the showrunner for that with all the failures that they had in the 1980, 81 seasons. And so they plugged in SCTV, which had been a Canadian staple for a few years, and really launched all of those, all of the tremendous group of actors, Eugene Levy, John Candy, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis, Martin Short. I mean, the Andrea Martin, Catherine O'Hara. I mean, that's why Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara were so good together on Yes Creek, because they've known each other for decades and have played off each other for so long. And SCTV, I mean, it was kind of amateurish, but that was kind of the joke. It was a small TV station being run and all of the things. Basically, you take Weird Al Yankovic's UHF and just envision it as a comedy sketch show. And that's what they were doing with SCTV, and it played really well on Friday nights, but it was odd because you were expecting something with a little more polish.
So it was by the way, SC is Second City.
Second City.
If you've ever heard that before, and that was out of Toronto, right?
That version of it was. Chicago was the the original.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah. Del Close was helming the one in Chicago and had basically franchised the one in Toronto, and the person that he franchised with wanted to get a TV contingent going. And so they came up with this idea, and next thing you know, the thing runs for off and on for about 9 years.
Well, Troy, don't let me forget, because at the end of this segment, we were giving away 4 K-State baseball tickets for tomorrow's game against Oklahoma State. We don't have any tickets for Saturday and Sunday because they're sold out.
Nice.
So just some of the few tickets remaining for Friday is in my hand right now. And I got 4 to give away.
4?
For Friday.
I've got my seat for Saturday, by the way.
Oh, you're going to fill in?
Yeah, I'm filling in.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there for the game Saturday. I'll be there Friday and Sunday, but I can't do Saturday.
I'll be in Kansas City on Saturday.
I got you.
Just saw this tweet. The Colorado Buffaloes, after a spring practice today, In-N-Out stopped by to hook up the players with some food. And I thought, man, how fitting, just like their players, In-N-Out. little rim shot there.
Yeah, you got to tell me so I get the soundboard pulled up before you do stuff like that.
They just give him the transfer portal papers along with the burger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds like a max exodus again there in Boulder. And I think I hadn't heard it yet, but I do believe Deion Sanders was like trying to downplay it and started to by using backlash towards the media, not doing their research. They got like 20 guys in the portal. And the portal's been open for a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only open for 2 weeks. You know, they got to make their decisions. Like, if you jump to the portal, you don't have to leave. But it's already a ton of guys that aren't interested, at least on paper, not interested a whole lot on coming back next year. Speaking of Colorado, but little men's basketball news. Heard about this afternoon, got some confirmation on it. Has to do with men's basketball and a visitor coming to town. Not a big, where they've already had a number of them already visit.
Okay.
Terrace Reed out of Michigan and Baba Miller from Florida State. They have both visited. Both have not made their decisions on where they're going to go. Umar Ballo, who's the transfer, he's the big athletic guy from Arizona, is going to transfer to Indiana without even fulfilling his visit to K-State, which was supposed to be this weekend, was supposed to start tomorrow. But that's, as far as I know, that's not going to happen because he's committed to Indiana. Well, the young man that plans on visiting K-State, I don't know when this is going to be, is Brendan Hauser. And for the last 2 years, he played on a team that K-State played this last season. As a matter of fact, Tyler Perry hit a game-winning three-pointer with just a few seconds to go. The Villanova Wildcats. Now, Brendan Hauser would come off the bench. He is originally from Amarillo, Texas. 6'4", 205 pounds, and has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Now, he would not be coming in if he does pick K-State, would not be coming in to be a star player or, you know, take a starting spot or anything like that. He would be a role player. He would provide a key piece for K-State off the bench. If you look at the highlight reel, it's very easy to tell what he's known for. What he would be coming in to do is hit threes. Because he's played in his career 66 games. He has made 100 field goals, and 88 of them have been three-pointers. In his two-year career so far, he is 39.5% from three-point range. And I was right before the show when I heard about this, went, watched his highlight film, and it's just the whole thing is him shooting threes. Spot-up shooting, catch-and-shoot. Shoots from the wings a lot. He's just a really good three-point shooter. I don't know how good he is on defense. The numbers are all right. He doesn't really turn over the ball much. Doesn't look like he handles the ball a whole lot. But he has one thing he does really well, and that's hit threes. And by God, we know that K-State can use some three-point shooters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a five-out offense works usually. That's what I say.
This would be a pretty good addition. A depth piece for your guards. You have better shooting now coming in if he were to come to K-State. Again, his freshman year, he shot 43% from three. This past season, 38%, but he played a lot more. He would average about 18 minutes a game. Heck, he's had a number of games this past year where he hit three or four threes. Wasn't exactly rare. Now, sometimes he would hit a slump. Sometimes he would only play 6 minutes. Against K-State, he played 6 minutes and was 0 for 2 from 3. Not every night is his night, but if it is his night and he's going off, you have an extremely good chance to win games because he's going to be coming off your bench and he's hitting triples. I mean, it's like an Ish Masood. I mean, Ish, remember, it's easy to know what Ish Masood was going to be remembered for. He was, of course, a part of this Elite Eight team. Under Jerome Tang, opposite of when he played a year for Bruce Weber, he was coming off the bench. Well, he had a particular role. Depth piece, could fill in for a few minutes, or, you know, it was more than a few minutes, of course. But what he did was hit triples. And, guys, he hit some of the biggest shots during that Elite Eight run. He had that dagger of a shot against Kentucky. And then in overtime against Michigan State, he had that baseline two-pointer that put K-State up 3 points with less than a minute to go. So these role players, these shooters that may not be solid in a whole lot of places but can really shoot, you can really profit off these guys, even though it's not the biggest roles and they're not going to play the biggest amount of minutes, the largest amount of minutes. So every team needs those role players. And, I mean, K-State already has done a really good job. I mean, it's already taken full effect in big-time notice when you add Doug McDaniel and C.J. Jones, already two guards that are a point guard and a wing that'll probably or at least have a shot at starting for you, can come in and hit some shots and they can score from all levels. You know, you're not gonna surpass them probably, but what an opportunity to add a key role player. So don't know when his visit's gonna take place, but that won't be a bad addition if you ask me.
Not at all. Just keep, and it's crazy how much depth we are adding or seeing added in the backcourt.
Yeah.
With this team right now.
And I don't know who, you know, where else he has interest from. Again, I just learned about this today. His last game against VCU in the NIT was 3-for-8, was 37.5% from three, and he finished with 9 points. This past season, he averaged 6 points, a rebound and a half, and overall from the field, he shot 39%. But again, I mean, you're talking about over 90% of his shots are coming from three-point range. You'll rarely see him inside the arc. He is a catch-and-shoot player.
I love those guys, personally. I think every offense needs that kind of guy that can just get hot at the right spot, and I definitely will always agree that in basketball there are two things that every team will always need more of, and it's three-point shooting and perimeter defense. So if he can turn himself into a defender, he'll probably buy himself quite a few more minutes that way, but any team will take a catch-and-shoot threat when they can get one.
Well, and you guys will know more than I, but isn't basketball more of that than it used to be? A lot more than it used to be?
Oh, yeah.
Just deeper shooting, more jump shots?
Oh, yeah. Mid-range jumpers are a dying breed, continue to be a dying breed in the game because the analytics will tell you, and this is where the KenPom aspect of things gets into, you're better off shooting 30% from beyond the three-point line than just under 50% for two.
Yep.
12 times last year, Brendan Hauser hit at least three threes off the bench. 12 times last year.
I will take that. Every day of the week,
he had a 6-for-8 game. He had a 6-for-8 game in game two from three-point range, 6-for-8. Followed it up 1-for-5 and then 0-for-3. So, again, he's not hot every game, but when he is, he's on fire. So we'll keep an eye on that. That doesn't take away the fact that K-State, a primary, is a big. But let's remember, they've already had two visit. I don't know if they have anybody else necessarily. I mean, they do have more on their radar, but we're focused on visits. That's where I focus. I'm not so focused on the guys that may be on their list that they've talked
right,
to.
Right.
I think that's a waste of time. It becomes more real when they schedule a visit. And already, I mean, K-State's locked in two guys quite quickly off of visits in Doug McDaniel and C.J. Jones. But it doesn't take away the fact that they still need to find a big. Let's take a break. Before we take a break, though, let me just say this real quick, that it's time to give away 4 tickets. K-State baseball against Oklahoma State on Friday. Toyton Family Stadium, the 15th-ranked Pokes in town for a 3-game series. I hear there's a little pregame happy hour out in right field. Troy, you're not working, so you can go enjoy a happy hour if
there
you want
to. There we go.
But Saturday is Bark at the Park.
Yes.
As well, so keep that in mind as well. I hear Aoka Lee going to be bringing her pup out to Toyton Family Stadium. We'll talk to Yoki here in just a second. But let's give away 4 tickets right now. K-State baseball against Oklahoma State for tomorrow's game with first pitch at 6 o'clock. I'll take caller 4 right now. 785-537-1350. Again, the phone number is 785-537-1350. If you want to go to the Bat Cats tomorrow, now is the time to call in. Aoka Lee is on next. Back on the game, Mitch Fortner, Trey Coverdale, and Owen Burke. Still to come here in hour number two. Are the Royals doing okay? We'll check in with Troy. He'll give us the latest details on what the Royals have been doing. I know they split that doubleheader yesterday, and the White Sox are so bad that even though they lost that one game in the second game of the doubleheader, it's like, what the hell? Like, how do you lose to a crappy team like that?
And I will explain.
Okay.
Coming
cool.
up.
Cool. I'll save my bit for when we get there then.
Now yeah. You're just waiting for the weekend. I know you are.
I am. I'll be there.
Now it's time to speak with the All-American, the GOAT. And I'm not talking about Gap GOAT. I'm talking about number 50, the senior from Byron, Minnesota, who has earned like 27 All-American nods. She's the first ever three-time academic All-American in K-State women's basketball history. She's coming back for her last year of eligibility, and that is Ayoka Lee. Yoki, really appreciate your time here on the show. You know, going back to your press conference last week when you officially announced that you're coming back for your last year of eligibility, you brought a puppy with you, and your puppy's name is Bram. So how's it going with Bram? How's Bram doing?
Yeah, he's doing good. Lots of energy. His brother's a cat, so likes playing with his brother Chadwick. Even when Chadwick doesn't want to play with him, but no, doing really good.
Is this your first puppy? Because they can be quite a handful to train, and separation anxiety can be an issue sometimes.
Yeah, he is my first puppy. Yeah, definitely. He's finally potty trained. Doesn't have or hasn't had an accident in the house in a while, but. Yeah, still working on the separation anxiety, but we're getting there. Starting to get some teething, which is the newest thing, but it's been good.
My girlfriend has one question. She wants to know his breed.
Yeah, he's a Bernedoodle, so he'll half poodle, half Bernese Mountain Dog, and he'll get pretty big, like the size of a standard poodle.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for doing this. I had a couple of questions from over the year that I just didn't get a chance to ask you. So after the first game, I did bring it up in the press conference that I thought your hair was phenomenal. You had hair that went all the way down your back, and you mentioned that like it took like 16 hours or something like that to get it done straight, just in the chair, get it done. And then after a couple of games, I realized it was gone. So did it get too heavy trying to play basketball in it?
Oh, no. It's just, like with braids, they just only last so long, and then it's time to take them out.
You were on such a roll. K-State was on such a roll through halfway into the Big 12 slate, but before you got to that halfway mark, you did end up with an injury, and it turns out that you earned National Player of the Week on a broken ankle as you beat Oklahoma and Texas. And we had heard from Coach Mitty many times about just the kind of the pain you went through and how it happened to you through the UCF game. But I'd like to hear it from yourself because you scored 40 points on a bad ankle. So exactly how much pain were you playing in those two games?
Yeah, it didn't feel great. I think Texas was probably the worst. Oklahoma wasn't, like maybe the second half was pretty painful, but Texas was definitely the worst. And I think it wasn't like, I couldn't really hide it, just like how I was moving, I think wasn't the best. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad we won. But yeah, it definitely was not something I'd want to go through again.
Well, last week you made the big announcement through social media, and the same video was posted a lot of places of you deciding to come back, and of course K-State fans are ecstatic about that. The video even included the hair whip that I was a big fan of in the best starting lineup video in K-State women's basketball history with a bunch of hair flips in it. But you had mentioned there's a number of reasons why you decided to come back, and some of that does include you want to win a Big 12 championship. Your teammates was a big part of that. But were you ever close to maybe not coming back and deciding to go on either with your pro life, either in basketball or your pro career?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely one to consider all my options. So it was definitely I didn't end the season knowing that I was going to come back like at all whatsoever. So yeah, I was definitely weighing everything and explored every option, and that one just coming back just happened to be like the best option for me. So
did you ever have a day where a teammate wasn't politicking for you to come back and play another year? Would they ever leave you alone about that decision?
Yeah, a lot of my teammates really just, yeah, I mean, I knew they wanted me to, but No. I mean, they weren't, like, hounding me over it. And they, like, they know me and know that I have a lot more going on in life than just basketball. So, and they would have supported me either way.
This has been a topic over the last couple of years about, you know, I think you'd mentioned it was your mom that had really set in early to get the education and really pursue the career that you want. Can you remind me what exactly it is you want to do after basketball with your professional life and what you're getting into with college?
Yeah, professionally, I want to be a therapist eventually work with, like, specifically student athletes, kind of like K-State has in the mental wellness department, but something along those lines probably.
Now, is that something you figured out a long time ago that you wanted to do, or is that something you discovered as a student athlete or at K-State that, hey, this might be a good path for me?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I think coming into college that I wanted to be in that, like, realm. But then once I got into my master's program, which is, like, couple and family therapy, I just kind of fell in love with, like, the whole field, and not just specifically with student athletes. So, yeah, I probably won't start there, but eventually I think it'd be cool to come back and work in that context.
So many storylines with this this basketball team this year, a lot of things that really caught on with the public and with the fans, and not only just being a good basketball team, but, you know, the Gap Goat really took off this year, and what a fun invention that was from Gabby Gregory. But does Gap Goat ride off into the sunset with Gabby, or does Gap Goat stick around for another season?
I think Gap Goat is sticking around. Yeah, I think that was just a really great, just, like, thing for us to have this year, and to really help us hone in on our goals for defense. So, yeah, I think he'll stick around, and we'll be happy to have him for another year, at least.
Yeah, now women's basketball, K-State has a bunch of secondary mascots. Bram, I'm sure, be hanging around a lot, and Gap Goat hanging around a lot. How much are you involved now, maybe even in the recent years, because of your status, how much does the coaching staff have you involved with the recruiting process now? Because the portal's open, I'm sure for the coaches right now, it's a little bit hectic to find the right pieces to fill up the rest of this team. So how involved are you with that?
Right now, I'm not insanely involved. I mean, visits and stuff, like, I'll be there doing stuff with the recruit and getting to know them. But yeah, the portal stuff for sure, I think. You know, when we have recruits that are like 2027 and like 2026ers, that's a little bit more my teammates' jobs. Just because, I mean, I won't be here at that time. But for the transfer kids, yeah, for sure. I think just getting to know them, getting to see if they'll be a good fit, you know, if they are, just trying to get them here is really important.
Ayoka Lee is our guest here on The Game. All right, I want to wrap up with some just kind of questions I've had on the top of my mind for a while now, and this goes back to when I talked to Taryn Sides. You're just kind of hanging out, listening to the interview, and music was brought up. And she says, like, nobody likes to listen to her kind of music, but who is in control of those kind of, like, decisions on the kind of music you guys are going to listen to either at practice or in the locker room or wherever? Is that a senior decision? Does it just trickle down to, you know, the class from older to younger on who gets to make the call and all that? Are you the one that gets to make the call?
That's a great question. Game days, I'm typically on off, but I, like, you know, I am a DJ for the people, so I definitely get my teammates' input. There's a few songs that are, like, we listen to, like, religiously, like, had to be played. And then in practice, our video coordinator made a playlist, and we sent him songs that we wanted on there. Then it's kind of just, like, whatever the vibe is, kind of go off that.
All right, so does DJ Yoki, there's two types of people when they listen to music.
Uh-huh.
Will you listen to a song for a minute and then skip it, or you have to listen to the whole song and then let it go on to the next song?
It depends on the vibe. Like, if no one's feeling the song, then it's a skip. But if it's a good song, then we're going to listen to it all the way through. You have to, on Spotify, you have to do the, like, blend. So there's not, like, a silence between songs. You can, like, blend them together so they, like, cross over. I find that to be the most useful for keeping the vibes going and all that good stuff.
So obviously NIL is a major part of college basketball now these days. And I got this question from a podcast I really like to listen to. What was that first treat yourself purchase with NIL money that you made?
That's a good question. My first treat yourself purchase. My first big one was, I got a Ninja Creamy on Amazon Prime Day. That's probably the first big one.
Okay, what was that? What is it?
Ninja Creamy. It's so you can make like homemade ice cream.
Oh, so it's like a machine that.
Yeah. It's a kitchen appliance.
Okay, I think I've heard of that. Yeah. Now I have to look into that because I love homemade ice cream. Now, okay, so follow up. How often do you actually use it?
Man, I used it a lot last year. Like, you can make protein ice cream and sherbet. The past couple of weeks, I've been, like, thinking about getting back on it, but I just need to put, you have to, like, make the base and freeze it overnight. So that's just what I haven't gotten myself to do. But, yeah, not as much these past couple months.
Well, Yoki, to wrap up, you mentioned in the press conference last week that you're looking forward to, you know, a senior year of getting to do the fun student-athlete stuff, doing the fun classes, maybe getting your senioritis on, maybe not take academics so seriously. You didn't say that, but that's just kind of how I have it pictured in my head. Do you have anything fun planned for this summer to just really enjoy yourself before you really get into the thick of things this next season?
Yeah, this summer, I'm working at a lot of kids' camps, and one camp for, like, specifically for youth or student-athletes I'm interning at. So I think it'll be lots of fun just to be able to, like, give my time to something that I typically am not able to, but those are kind of my plans.
One last question. Did becoming the all-time leading scorer in K-State history have anything to do with your decision?
It did not. I think it's kind of like an added bonus, maybe, the potential of that.
I don't know. If I was you, I'd be hungry for that. That's just me, though, to have all those records. Why not be the all-time leading scorer? But, Yoki, thank you so much again for your time. Really appreciate it. And I'm thrilled as hell to see you back for another year. So thank you for your time, and have a good summer.
Thanks. Thank you, Mitch.
Once again, K-State All-American from the women's basketball team, Ayoka Lee, here on The Game. I always have fun doing the not so serious questions.
Sure.
When Yoki, that's because she is the most humble player I've ever talked to. Talking shop with her, you know, it's because it's all positive with her career.
Right.
Other than the injuries, it's always positive. Remember for the NCAA tournament that, you know, the Cats hosted this year, I was late to the press conference because Yoki and I, we had a conversation. I gave her a start bench cut, and it was tacos, sushi, and mac and cheese.
Ooh.
And we got hung up on that I think I played it back here on the show. And we got hung up on that for a while.
That's a very tough question.
Well, I'm here to tell you, my start bench cut is mac and cheese, tacos, and then sushi. I'm going to cut sushi.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I've just not really had a whole lot of sushi in my life.
Yeah, sushi was a quick cut for me. Thank you. Yeah.
I like sushi. I don't get a ton with raw fish in it. I get a couple.
I'd have to do cooked, yes.
Yeah, yeah. There's
or
definitely a couple.
Or something.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple in there you get cooked. Like there's a place in Derby that I always go whenever I go back to Wichita to see my parents. But yeah, sushi's up there. Mac and cheese I want to cut because it's not as main dish as the other two, but the versatility is unmatched with mac and cheese.
Yoki cut mac and cheese.
Yeah, see, I can see where you're coming from like a main dish kind of aspect, but I mean, yeah, that's a top tier side dish you're cutting out. You know, so that's a tough decision. I really like that question, Mitch. That's a good one.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, let's once again ask the big question to Troy. Are the Royals doing okay? He'll answer next. The Game on K-Man, Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke will take it to 6 o'clock. No Royals tonight. No Batcats tonight. It's kind of a chill evening.
A quiet night on KMAN.
And of course, the Royals, there's a reason Owen's going to Kansas City this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's because his Baltimore Orioles will be in town. Kansas City 12-7, the Orioles 12-6.
He and Brandon are going to have a throwdown.
That we are. That's what.
Are you going together?
No, we're not. But we have scheduled a fight in the parking lot pregame.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's happening.
Is that like to predict who wins the series this weekend?
I think it's more just for bragging rights and to assert dominance before entering the ballpark.
I don't necessarily have to tell you this, but that's a road game for you, bub.
I know it is. I'm going into enemy territory this weekend.
All right, so Troy, you're the Royals expert around here.
Yes.
And as you all know, according to the Royals record, I'm a pretty big fan.
I would agree.
So, but I'll let Troy answer the question. And that is, Troy, are the Royals doing okay?
It's a long season. Let's bear this in mind. But for the moment, yes, they're doing okay. They come off of the road going 3-3 over this stretch. They took 2 of 3 from the White Sox. Yeah, you would have liked to have gotten all three against the White Sox. But let's be perfectly honest. You're not going to win every game against the Pale Hose. I mean, you are going to have a hiccup somewhere in there. They can't lose them all. You can't win them all. Let's just be honest. Would have liked to have seen them have a couple of better performances against the Mets. They go 1-2 in New York before the series in Chicago. So a 3-3 road trip. Given last year's struggles on the road, let's take that for what it is right there. And we'll add to it. They did that while their hitting was not as good as what it had been at home. Over the course of the 6-game road trip, 4 of those games, they only managed 2 or fewer runs. That includes yesterday's 2-1 loss to the White Sox. And it looked for a long time through game 1 yesterday that they were doomed to repeat that or to do that only to tally their 3 runs late that made it a 4-2 ball game. The 2-run homer by Salvador Perez flipped the game in the 8th inning to where the Royals had the lead. So the hitting has not been where they've wanted it to be over the course of these last 6 games. Where they continue to have a lot of success is starting pitching. And that's the second best ERA in the league right now. Is their starters.
I think Boston's at 1,
yeah.
Which is also very surprising.
But true.
Yeah, Kansas City being at 2, that's a dang good start.
Let me ask you this. Is it more surprising for Kansas City or for Detroit, who's third best in ERA?
I think it's
more. Was that expected?
No. Detroit made some moves, but for the most part, those are still their younger guys.
Yeah, Tarik Skubal is an animal.
True.
So I would have expected them to have a lower ERA just because I think their ace is better than Casey's is. But Casey's been good 1-4, and that's where they're coming in at right now.
They lead the league in quality starts.
12.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
In
19 games. So that right there tells you that this pitching staff is getting the job done. Now it's a matter of getting the offense back clicking. And that's going to be a challenge this weekend.
That it is.
Is Salvi banged up?
A little bit. He took a slide in the 4th inning of Sunday's game against the Mets where, why am I blanking now on the name?
Who?
Marte?
Starling Marte.
Yeah, I think Marte was that slid into him on a bang-bang play at the plate and basically an inner hip issue.
And still played.
He actually came out of that game at that point. They gave him a couple days rest in Chicago, pinch hit him in the first game of the doubleheader yesterday. And
had to go ahead home, or tied the game with a home run.
It put him ahead.
Oh, but it was a go-ahead.
Yeah, because it was a 2-1 game at the time. And then he sat out for the most part in game 2. So that's the story there is that, yes, he's banged up. Go figure. The story of Salvador Perez's career, he's banged up.
Yeah.
And yet wants to play, and they actually on Monday were very happy with the fact that they did not have to go to the IL with him. There was concern with how he felt after the play itself on Sunday that he might be headed for an IL stint, but MRA came back with showing no damage, just a matter of being, Salvador Perez in his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, story of his career. Injured, but still producing. Just
right.
Decides to pinch hit a go-ahead two-run shot.
Almost hit one in the second game.
Yeah, it was like 437, that first one that he landed. It was a shot.
I did have to laugh because I caught the call from for Hunter Dozier's homer. And Ryan Lefevre literally said, in nearly the same spot as Salvador Perez's. Then they get them the measurement, and he missed it by a foot.
One foot. That's a great call. Great call.
All right, Owen, so what games are you going to this weekend?
I'm going to Saturday night's
game.
Going
to Saturday's game. So, all right, well, give us a quick preview of the Orioles, because I think they're one of the best hitting teams right now in baseball, aren't they?
Yeah, they're one of the better young teams in the game. So on Saturday, it's going to be Corbin Burnes and Cole Reagans, which are the two aces of the programs, going to be going up against each other. Reagans is one of the best in ERA. Corbin Burnes is 4-0 on the mound to start the year. And so is Grayson Rodriguez. That's where a lot of the Orioles' success has come from, those top two pitchers. Offensively, this lineup just doesn't go away, mainly. I mean, they walked off the Royals twice already. And again, the first one, I think, was more of a Royals mistake than a Orioles, you know, true play. The second one, I think, was more on the Orioles. But as far as this team goes, like, you're going to see a lot of lefties in action. Gunnar Henderson's going to be probably in the leadoff spot on Saturday night, and he's been an animal to start the year. Colton Cowser's batting over 400 for some reason through, like, 25 plate appearances. So this team is just deep. Like, if you think there's not really going to be a weak spot to attack as far as their lineup goes, and you're facing one of the best strikeout pitchers in the game on Saturday as well.
One of the aspects that I do, that I might quibble with you just for a moment, and it's only because he's still getting his feet underneath him, and that is Jackson Holliday has not produced yet to the level that they expect him to as being the number one prospect in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
The Kansas City Royals open up a 7-game homestand on Friday. They'll have Baltimore in for 3 and then 4 with the Toronto Blue Jays. We won't have a ton of covers this weekend at the Royals because of K-State baseball. We'll have a joint in progress on Saturday. That may be it. But it's 6:40, 6:10, and 1:10 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Royals as they welcome in the Baltimore Orioles. And, of course, I think it's Friday's game, right? Tomorrow they're going to be handing out, the Royals are going to be handing out replica 2014 AL championship rings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually Saturday night.
Is it Saturday?
Yeah, I thought so.
Can I have yours?
Yeah, if they give me one, I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan. You know, yeah, I gotta have it. I can't make it.
Are you sure, Troy? Do you want it instead? Or?
You're darn right.
Try to get two.
Okay. Yeah. I got you covered.
I did that when the World Series in 14. I went to game one of the World Series in 14. And so the two entrances, you have first base and third base entrances, they were handing out different towels. Mm. So they had like a white towel here and a blue towel at the other one. Mm. So I like kind of pretend got in line in the other one and got both towels.
There you go. There you go.
All right, let's take a timeout. We'll finish up the game with Ask If Anything next. Owen, if you don't mind, I'm going to lead off here because I've had some fun with this question, not on the show, obviously, but with others. So the question is, I got it from a podcast I like to listen to called Are You Garbage? Great podcast. Comedy podcast. Like, growing up, like before you met me and Troy, did you meet anybody famous or somebody you considered famous as you were growing up? It could be like a local celebrity, or did you meet anybody cool like when you were growing up?
There was a time where we went to, me and my uncle's a huge wrestling fan, and we went to one of the TNA shows when they were in Wichita. And so we're standing in line after the match to try to get in the ring, take a picture with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and Kurt Angle. Firstly, he lost the picture, and I've still somewhat never forgiven him for that fact. But while we're standing in line, this door opens up in this hallway. James Storm pops out, and I don't know who I'm. 9 years old, don't know who James Storm is.
James Storm is a buddy of mine. We've actually we've worked a lot of shows together.
Really?
Here in the area, both here in Kansas and in Nebraska.
Fair enough.
A number of times.
Yeah, so he pops out and he's like, oh, you take a picture with my nephew? And I didn't see him, and I didn't hear what my uncle said at first. And then all of a sudden, James Storm wraps his massive arm around and puts me in a headlock for this photo. And I still don't know where that photo is either. So my uncle, great guy. Can't keep track of pictures.
Fun fact, he is now, along with doing indie shows as a wrestler, he does real estate south of Nashville, which is a poppin' real estate area.
Yeah.
and he sold Kid Rock his house.
That's fantastic.
The one that looks like the White House, he sold that.
That's so sick.
Do you have one quick one we can maybe squeeze in? I don't think Troy has a local celebrity he met unless...
Come on, Troy, you got nothing over there?
Best I could give you would be the softball tournament where some members, alumni members of the KU Jayhawks showed up.
Rocky Downing was a big celebrity of mine.
Oh, yeah.
When I was growing up, I was, you know, voice of the Tigers. Come on.
Yeah, probably the most random one, actually. I was in a card shop in Wichita one time, and John Zook, who is I think a Ring of Honor member at KU, is an offensive tackle and played for the Falcons for 4 years in the NFL, walked in and got his autograph because the owner just had two of his cards sitting around, and he hooked me and my buddy up with an autograph. So, you know, he's KU, but I was like, hey, this is...
Right.
Did you lose that along with the picture?
No, I still have that one. It's in my fire safe box at the house. Eh, so,
all right.
I know. I know that disappoints you, but...
Well, sounds like KU's a little bit delayed with that new stadium.
Go figure.
All right, we got to wrap it up. We're with you from 4 to 5:30 tomorrow. For Owen, Troy, I'm Mitch. Go Cats.